We've been talking about victorious spiritual warfare. Let me read to you our main text and we'll get to our point. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, that's a generic title, everyone, male, female, at the church at Ephesus, the church now universal, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. God's will is for us to be strong. Thank you, brother. How do we become strong? Well, God never asked us to do something. He doesn't give us a how-to. The Bible is so functionally practical. Put on the whole armor of God. Panoply, okay? It was the full army of a Roman infantry soldier. That you may be able to stand against the wiles, the methodi, the tactics. It literally means trickery of the enemy. Now, the enemy is smarter than men. He's not smarter than God. When I put on my armor, I get God's wisdom, God's authority to overcome the enemy's strategies. So it's so important, okay, because we don't win battles when we're not connected to God. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Come on. Stop hating people. If you're going to hate someone, hate the devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. There's almost a common, unanimous belief in theologians that's talking about demonic hierarchy, a demonic army. Over cities, over families, cities, regions, continents, that kind of thing. Therefore, in lieu of that fact that we're in a battle, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all or overcome all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. So we talked about wearing clean underwear. What does that mean? Integrity unlocks authority. We are only as healthy as we are honest. Okay? If we reveal things, Jesus heals things. He can't heal it if we don't reveal it. You with me? Man, confession. When you invite people into your world through honesty, it is always a part of the healing process. The same with God. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So righteousness in the New Testament means our identity, who I am in Christ. So the Bible is primarily in the New Testament a mirror of identity. This morning when I woke up in the mirror after initial shock, I said, I got some work to do. Hair sticking up, whiskers everywhere. This is the best I could do, by the way, so tough. So the Bible tells me who I really am. Now, I'm the son of Richard and Carol Maiden, but I'm more than that. I'm a child of God. I'm more than a conqueror. You with me? I'm his workmanship. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm a royal priesthood, a king and a priest. The Bible tells me. So the most important thing in life is what you believe about God. But I like to add that the second most important thing in life is what you believe about yourself. The devil is trying to steal the identity of an entire generation. The closer you come to Christ, the more you'll see who you are. Okay? When I see myself right, I can see life right. When I see myself wrong, I never see life right. The last week I talked about, at least in the first service, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the power of God's peace. The Bible identifies the gospel of Christ as the gospel of peace. Man, I've got good news for you. Peace is your weapon to calm your storm. It's not the result of the storm leaving. It's the authority to walk right through it and keep your rest. Peace, Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Not like the world's peace. Don't let your heart be troubled or afraid. Today I'm talking about this. In verse 60, above all or outside of all, or I think the Greek would read covering all would be more appropriate. Covering all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, a fiery dart is a thought that comes into your mind that has been inspired by a demonic origin. And so the battlefield is your mind. The weapons of the enemy are thoughts. And God says, I'm giving you a shield to quench the explosive nature of those demonic thoughts. Because one uncaptured thought can mess up your life and destroy your world. One thought that you allow to run, one ungodly thought, unhealthy thought. So every day we think 30,000, 40,000 thoughts. So our brain's very active. And God says, I'm giving you something to overcome when the devil inserts a demonic dart. Now, a couple of things. The word for shield is theros. And theros means in the Greek door. So everybody say door. So the Roman shield was, you know, about 4 foot high, rectangular down to the ground. Let me read you a paragraph about what it was made of. The Roman soldier's shield was composed of multiple layers of thick animal hide that had been tightly woven together. Usually, 6 layers of animal hide were specially tanned and then woven together so tightly that they became as strong as steel. Because of how it was made, the shield of the Roman soldier was extremely tough and exceptionally durable. In order to keep those shields in good shape, the soldiers were given a daily schedule to maintain the excellent condition of their shields. Each morning, when the soldier awakened, he would reach for a small vial of oil. After saturating a piece of cloth with the oil, he would begin to rub that heavy ointment into the leather portion of the shield to keep it soft, supple, and pliable. Before Roman soldiers then went to battle, they purposely soaked their shields in water until they were completely water saturated. This allowed the shields to extinguish fiery arrows that the enemy would send. The word fiery darts is bellows. And bellows means a specially made long slender arrow with a hollow interior that was filled with flammable liquids that upon impact exploded into a raging fire. So it was like a hand grenade. It also would be an arrow with just a cloth that was on fire wrapped around it. Both of those. That's the most common way movies show it. But the Roman army and the Roman culture was sophisticated when it came to military combat. So they devised these arrows that when they hit a shield would explode, or hit a person would explode. And so here's what God said. If you maintain your shield with daily maintenance, and if you keep it soaked in the word of God, when those weapons come in, the word in you will quench the word against you. It'll put out the fire. David said it like this, your word, O God, I've hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. I'm prepared for tomorrow's battle with today's revelation. When I miss today's revelation, I am vulnerable to tomorrow's ambush. And so Jesus said, here's the Lord's prayer. Give us today our daily bread. Of course, meet our natural needs, but I need a new revelation. Speak to me every day. Speak to me. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is your spirit believing God's word. It's not your mind assenting to it. It's your spirit. Faith is a spiritual function. And the word of God is faith food. So when we feed our spirit, the word, our faith gets stronger. Our shield becomes strong. It becomes moist with the word, quenching what the enemy has thought he would do. So this is the portrait of the believer, that we spend time in the word of God. Fall in love with your Bible. Fall in love. Pastor, I don't know where to begin. Begin with Mark or John. begin with Colossians, only 4 pages long. It doesn't matter where you begin. Your spirit will grow. Your faith grow. And when the enemy unleashes something against you, your faith is ready for that battle. Come on. Beautiful Mary and I, our 4 kids, were on vacation 17 years ago in Laguna Beach. Be careful where you take your kids on vacation. They might end up moving there. Half my family lives there now. So I became very sick, like hospitalization sick. I'm there, an expert comes in, I'm treated, etc. I couldn't speak, it was really tough. He diagnosed a very specific and highly untreatable, hard to treat cancer that at an advanced stage. So he's going over like he should. Praise God for doctors. Got a bunch of them in the church. You know, almost all of us could say we're alive because of the healing work of God through doctors. Praise God for doctors. Nurses, anybody helping people. But he's going through like he should, like he has to. Here's the chances of your recovery. They weren't good. Here's the, you know, because of the location, he's going through all the things. And, you know, the odds, so that's just a normal diagnosis and prescription. I've been meditating on a verse of scripture before I was sick. Before I knew I was sick, the word of God was already rising up in me. And the scripture was Psalm 118, verse 17. And it says this, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. So about 15 minutes into his presentation, I leaned across the table. I said, excuse me, doctor, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. He was stupid. Huh? I got a religious fanatic in my office. What am I going to do? And he said this to me. What did you say? I said, don't mind if I do. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of God. Now, I went for testing. They found cancer was there. So I had cancer and stage 4, here's what they have. So 6 months later, I go back to the doctor. There's no cancer. It's all gone. All gone. No trace. No residue. Now what? Why? The word of God is so powerful. It will heal your broken body. It will protect your mind from fear. And when the enemy tells you you're going to die, the word will rise up and say, not today, devil. Not today, Satan. So God's word is a prescription to overcome the enemy. There's never been a generation in human history that has endured as much media oppressive assault as you. And you have to have faith. You have to have faith. I stopped watching the news. It's not, you know, because I'm, you know, I really like, it was hard for me when the Lord told me to do it. Because I like keeping all current, but I was getting too agitated. So I'm starving my fear and I'm feeding my faith. Pastor, how does fear come? The same way faith comes. It comes by hearing words, not from God, from other people or from the devil himself. So God's anointed us by his word to overcome. A couple more verses, then I'm in Hebrews 11, the whole chapter, heroes of faith, the hall of faith. Faith is, verse 1, the substance of things hoped for. Faith is a measurable quantitative substance. In the spirit, you can see it. Christ said to people, your faith is little. In fact, he said that a lot, mostly to his disciples, poor guys, you know. Oh, ye of little faith. He said to a man, great faith. He said to many people, according to your faith, be it unto you. Yes. Huh? So he identified in relationships and encounters people's position in faith. You can't afford in this season to have an unfed, unnourished, weak faith. You can't. Too much, I mean, the Lord was talking to me about some things last night, challenging me to build my faith in some areas. I said, you're right, you're right, you're right, you're right. Yeah. Faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God. Let me just help you. You can frame your world by the word of God. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and though he being dead, it still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he would not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. So Elijah and Enoch both were taken before they had mortal death. Now they both went to paradise, Abraham's bosom, which was kind of the air-conditioned part of hell. That's about the way it was. It wasn't all of heaven yet. Christ preached the gospel to the captivities. That's them. And led them into actual heaven. Okay? Okay. Just some theology. So, Enoch, listen to me. I believe we're an Enoch generation. I believe Jesus Christ is coming soon. But he is looking for faith in his bride. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Abraham believed God and it was accounted, imputed to him for righteousness. For he that comes to God, next line of this verse, must believe that God is. Faith believes that there's a real God. He exists. And that he is a rewarder. God, come on, I'm all done. I want you to stay with me. So Pastor Aiden walked around his house with a severely autistic child, which is, imagine last year for moms and dads that couldn't take that child to their special classes. That is a 24-hour job. And in the middle of that, Pastor Aiden started, God, I thank you, my son's going to be healed. My son's going to speak and his mind's going to function. He's walking around his house. His son's still doing what he would do. He's prophesying over, he's speaking, he's calling things that are not as though they were. He's prophesying over his son. And one day he's watching something on TV. His son comes from behind him and says, hi, Dad. Your faith will bring your high dad. Your faith. Now, Jesus Christ healed that boy. But his father's faith made it possible. Somebody has to believe God. For God to do what he longs to do. He responds to our faith. The greatest move of God in history is here. We must not let today's discouraging events strip away our faith in God.
That's right.
But we have to speak right to the storm.
That's right.
Right to the battle. Last story. Mary and I went through very difficult, our whole family, 27 years ago. Really tough time, 26 years ago. One of the consequences was one of my sons started self-medicating, and then grew to serious drugs. Had a bunch of rich friends. He's doing cocaine. He moves out of the house on his 18th birthday. And he is, for 7 years, I put him in rehab twice as a teenager. And our family was so decimated. That woman sitting there, and me and this, we are a miracle. I don't know what you've been through, but you can read my book and see what I've been through. Okay?
Yes.
So I would lay on his bed and say, Jesus, I would weep. Don't let my son die tonight. Drug dealers driving slow past our house wanted to kill my son. Police knocking on my door wanted to arrest my son. And I'm laying on his bed Jesus, don't let him die. I'm laying on his bed, and the presence of God came into my room and rebuked me. Not harshly or hurtfully. He said, you've lost faith in what I said your son would be. You could go through a struggle so long that you forget what you once believed for, what you once dreamed for. And the Lord reminded me of all the words since his birth of my son being a man of God, a great husband, a great father, a great pastor, a great businessman. And the Lord said, Michael, change the way you talk about your son. I read it. I got Mary. I said, Mary, the Lord just spoke to me. He corrected my language about Matthew, about my son. And so we started talking between us. Our son's a history maker, world shaker, man of God. He's running the streets, but we're prophesying in our home. We're unleashing faith nonstop. Matthew shows up. I put my arm around him. He was always very respectful, even when he was away from God. I said, Matthew, you're going to be a great father, husband, pastor, man of God, business person. Yeah, Dad, yeah. I prayed for 7 years, nothing happened. I prayed for 7 weeks that way, with faith, declaring and prophesying over my son. And he was playing basketball at Glendale Community College. He wanted to date a cheerleader, I think. She said, I'll only date you if you've come to my church. And so let me stop there and say thank God for all the pretty women in this church that tell men, I only date you if you come to church. Here, Maiden, and here, Worship Nation. And he's sitting in the back row just waiting for the churches to get over. And the guest evangelist said, someone's here, has a broken heart, is away from God. God's going to heal you tonight. He fell out of the back pew. He shook for 90 minutes. When he got up, he was 100% free from all drug addiction. Jesus said, have faith in God. For whoever will say to this mountain, I don't know what your mountain is, a child away from God, a physical issue, a financial struggle, a relational problem. He that has faith in God will say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and not doubt in his heart. He will have whatever he says. Faith talks like God and calls things that are not as though they were. Faith repeats God's promises. I want to encourage you, my friend. I don't care what things look like. Get your shield up. God's about to show up, and you're about to have a testimony of his greatness in your life. Thank you for listening to me today. Would you stand on your feet, please? Prayer team, would you please join me down front? God, thank you for a day of breakthrough. Thank you, God, that you're healing our spiritual immune system, our faith calibration. Now listen, put on sermons where if you listen to someone's sermon, make sure they're preaching the Bible. I appreciate people's ideas, and you know, I have 2 degrees in psychology. I appreciate all that, but the pulpit's not the place for that. The thing that will change your life more than anything in the world is the Word of God. And I declare in this season, you're going to have your faith rebuilt, strengthened. And you're going to, everything the devil shoots at you, it's not going to work. He's going to try stuff, you're going to say, nothing. Nope. You're not going to have my marriage, my kids, my health, my job, whatever it is. Watch what God does.